女の駆け立ち忘れはや
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 Srimad Bhagavatam, chapter 7, canto 7, chapter 9. Prahlad pacifies the Lord with prayers. Text 48. Chambaya Agya Abhanya Vya Ambu Mata.
Chambaya Agya Abhanya
Kanyendriyani Vidayam Chidanugrahascha
Kanyendriyani Vidayam Chidanugrahascha
Savam Tameva Saguna Viganascha Bhuman
Savam Tameva Saguna Viganascha Bhuman
Nanyat Tvadascha Pimano Vachasa Niruptam
Nanyat Tvadascha Pimano Vachasa Niruptam
O Supreme Lord, you are actually the air, the earth, fire, sky, and water. You are the objects of sense perception, the life airs, the five senses, the mind, consciousness, and false ego. Indeed, you are everything, subtle and gross. The material elements and anything expressed, either by the words or by the mind, are nothing but you. Purport. This is the all-pervasive conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, which explains how he spreads everywhere and anywhere. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman. The Supreme Brahman, Krishna. Nothing exists without him. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mayatatam vidam sarvam jagadrakta murtina matstani sarvabhutani tachaham teshravastata. I exist everywhere, and everything exists in me. Yet I am not visible everywhere. The Lord can be visible only through devotional service. Tatra tishtami narada yatra gayanti madbhakta. The Supreme Lord stays only where his devotees chant his glories. Om Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shri Vasudeva Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. This is Prahlad Maharaj's prayer to Lord Nrisimhadeva with love. Oh my Lord, you are everything. Now, how exactly is the Supreme Personality of Godhead everything? That we should try to understand. Because according to conditioned vision, we look around and we see this material world, and the conditioned mind is always thinking, what's in it for me? What's this world going to provide for me? This is the vision of the conditioned soul. You may catch yourself when you rise first thing in the morning. The conditioned mind pops the first question into your mind. What am I going to feel like today? What's the day going to bring me? Will there be pleasurable feelings for the body and mind? Or will there be unpleasant feelings for the body and mind? How will the day respond to me? How will people respond to me? Will it be a successful day or not, in which everything goes my way? Or if not everything, almost everything. I'm willing to settle for that. This is how we gauge the day. And then we wonder, why can't I see God? Where is this Krishna whom the Shastras speak of? The actual question should be, why can't I see God if He's everywhere? The problem is that we have a certain mentality which causes the Supreme Lord not to reveal Himself to us. Just like when there's fog out or a heavy mist, you can't see what's going on. It's dangerous driving on the motorway when there's so much fog and heavy mist. Similarly, this material world is a dangerous place when we cannot see Krishna. The fault is ours. We should look into our minds and see how we are overwhelmed with qualities that separate us from the Supreme Lord. But actually, it's not possible to be separated from Krishna. As the Lord says in Bhagavad Gita, Mamaye Vamsho Jiva Loke Jiva Bhuta Sanatana. You living entities are eternally my amshas, my intimate parts and parcels. But something has happened to cause us to struggle within the oppressive material atmosphere. Manashastan Indriyani, Prakriti Stani Karshati. The Prakriti Stani, the oppressive material atmosphere, we find to be an atmosphere of hope for material satisfaction. You can catch yourself feeling this sometimes, this hope. There'll be something for me. There'll be some good feelings. I know there'll be some bad times, but I'm willing to, handle that. I'm willing to accommodate that. But I know there'll also be some fulfillment. This is the mentality of the conditioned soul. I'm going to keep going. I'm going to keep striving. I'm going to keep struggling because, yes, society expects that of me. My family expects that of me. I expect that of myself. What do you think I am? Some kind of failure? I have a positive outlook. I'm proactive. I know how to prioritize. Do you think that I'm going to go through this world being a failure? Never mind that I'm in an atmosphere that dooms me to failure. I shall succeed. And how shall I succeed? My senses will attain satisfaction. Sometimes you can take stock of yourself and just analyze all your different senses and their expectations, what your tongue expects, what your eyes expect, what your ears expect. But all the working senses, the karmendriyas, and the knowledge-acquiring senses, the gyanendriyas, what they all expect. And you'll see how indeed you are encircled, entrapped, while thinking you're free. The freedom of material existence is simply in the mind. Oh, I have so many things to choose from. What particular delectable flavor will be mine today? As I'm driving through London, I watch the people. I study their faces, their attitudes, going back and forth from the Manor to Soho or wherever. And I can see that the people do not understand that this city is driving them like a slave master. The whole metropolis is like an entity with a whip in its hand. It's cracking the whip. And people are going about their duties under such pressure. But they think that they are sophisticated. They think that they are feeling the freedom of political liberalness. But actually, they're suffering so much under duress. Even when they go out for entertainment, they're pushed by the mode of passion. Now you must be entertained. the mind pushes you. You want some diversion. Go get it. You've got the money to pay for it. You've worked hard. Now you're entitled to diverse, to put your mind into diversion. It's your privilege. And of course, people will say, and what do you expect? You know, I work hard, I should also enjoy. So in this way, people are slave-driven, not only to work, but also to enjoy themselves. You may remember what that felt like. You had to do something. You couldn't just have a simple life. Then you would be full of despair. You don't want too much time to think about yourself. And after all, you have to show at least a few people in this world that you are competent. You want that feeling. I've got abilities. Even if you don't like your job and you hate your boss, still you've got this thing in you that wants to show, I'm competent, I can do things, I can get things done. And everybody's got at least a few friends or a few relatives, even in this day and age of broken families. UK is the divorce capital of Europe. So most families break up. So even in this day and age of broken families, still you have a few relatives that you want to impress. It's just the way material nature constitutes the living entity. You've got to impress someone. You've got to show yourself worth. Now, remember, a few minutes ago, we were speaking about seeing Krishna everywhere. You tell me, how with all this mental baggage, you're going to see Krishna everywhere? And why should Krishna want you to see him? It's amazing. We can kind of look in the mirror, analyze our modus operandi, analyze our desires, and then ask yourself, would Krishna really want me to see him? You know what it's like when you don't want to be bugged by somebody. You make yourself invisible. You make yourself unavailable. Everybody does that. Tell them I'm at home. Or, you know, if you're a devotee, you know, when you don't want to be, you know, caught on the phone by another devotee that you don't want to speak to, you know, but you have to be truthful because you're a devotee. You say, tell the Prabhu I'm not in, and you step outside the door of the room, you know. You can't tell why. So, everybody knows how to make themselves unavailable. Why should I be available for this person? This person is criticizing me, or this person dares to underestimate my glories. Or this person has not fulfilled my desires in the way I expected. I'm not available. I don't want the person seeing me. But what is wrong with Krishna doing the same thing? He's a person, but he's the flawless, supreme person. So he has his energy, the fog, the shadows, which prevent you from seeing him, even though he is here. So the question is not, why can't God reveal himself? The question is, what are we doing that prevents us from seeing the obvious, that Krishna is everywhere? Because everything is Krishna. Everything is his energy. Last night we were speaking about Arjuna's statement in the second verse of the 11th chapter, where out of joy he's addressing the Lord. Kamalapataksha, O lotus-eyed Lord, I've heard from you how you are the source of the appearance and disappearance of all living entities, of everything. I've heard in detail this. He's reciprocating in joy. Reciprocation is a very important part of bhakti. In fact, bhakti means reciprocation. That is why we don't at all see any value when people start talking about the spiritual reality, you know, the all-pervading whatever, the spiritual force that we're all a part of. We don't pay any attention to that. Because when there's impersonalism, there cannot be reciprocation. If you simply glorify the Supreme Absolute Truth as changeless, qualityless,
free of activity. Where is the place for Krishna and his pastimes? Where is the place for the reciprocation of bhakti? If you say the Supreme Absolute Truth is changeless, we were explaining in the manner yesterday how, because people are so stressed today, they're in so much anxiety, therefore they're attracted to a vague conception of the Absolute Truth which presents changelessness. Because this world externally is changing so fast. It's different flavors of Maya alternating back and forth at faster and faster speeds. It's just like maybe when you were a kid you had a kaleidoscope, and so maybe at one age you turn the kaleidoscope very slowly. You know, a kaleidoscope is just a few pieces of colored plastic at the end of a cardboard tube. How many of you looked into a kaleidoscope when you were kids? Yes. So, but you were fascinated at first by it, right? You turned it, wow, look at that, look at that, look at that. But the adults know. There's just basically five or so pieces of colored plastic at the end of the tube. So you turn it very slowly, and you're mesmerized. Maybe, as you would get older, you would try turning it faster and faster. And that's what we call progress. You're taking the same basic components of material nature and turning them faster and faster. This is progress. So everyone feels like their life is speeding up. But it's the same old thing that Prahlad Maharaj is describing here. Air, earth, fire, sky, water, objects of sense perception, light bears, five senses, mind, consciousness, false ego, everything subtle and gross. It's the same old thing. But when people spin those components of material nature faster, they think, oh, this is progress, we're advancing. So whether you turn the kaleidoscope fast or slow, you're just dealing with the same thing. As devotees, we don't want to turn the kaleidoscope. We want a vision of the Supreme Absolute Truth who changes on the spiritual platform. When you say that Krishna is changeless, you're referring to no material transformation. But on the spiritual platform, there is so much change. Didn't Lord Chaitanya demonstrate that? What kind of changes did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu demonstrate? He demonstrated the changes caused by a pure heart that throbs in the highest devotional ecstasy. In Chaitanya Charitamrita, you see nothing but changes on the spiritual platform. Lord Chaitanya, in the association of his most intimate devotees, like Sukhdamada, Ramananda Roy, would speak of changes, dance according to changes. His conversation would show so many changes, all propelled by a pure heart in Mahabhava. Lord Chaitanya came to demonstrate the emotional changes of Krishna's dearest devotee. So, we're not into changelessness, although we understand that bhakti yoga brings you beyond the changes of the material world. Nor are we considering the Absolute Truth to be devoid of activity. There must be activity because Krishna and his lila are the most attractive things. They are activities. Of course, there must be qualities. First of all, how can there be compassion if the Supreme Absolute Truth has no qualities? Often, you meet pop impersonalists and people under their sway who say that everything is actually undifferentiated oneness, but then this particular liberated soul felt compassion and came down. Now, we were explaining at the minute how if everything is ultimately undifferentiated in oneness, and all variety is an illusion, who is there to feel compassion upon who? Compassion takes one person and another person. At least, it has to be two persons. But if everything is undifferentiated oneness, who gets to feel compassion and who gets to receive the compassion? So how can you, whether you call yourself a bodhisattva or this or that or the other, how can you come out of the oneness because of your compassion? Not possible. So we're, of course, very eager to understand the compassion of Lord Chaitanya, the qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Attachment? Because people are suffering so much by their material attachment. They think, somehow or other, there must be a state where there's no attachment whatsoever. But we bhaktas are eager for attachment. We're greedy for attachment. We're greedy for attachment to the lotus feet of Krishna's devotees. The whole mission of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in its inner confidential essence is to show attachment. Yudayasam Naveshena Chakshusam Prabhashayasam Shunyayasam Jagatsamam Govindavirahayam. This is attachment. So you can tell everyone, the goal of Bhakti Yoga is attachment. We're not into this no attachment stuff. But we are able to select the highest attachment. We're not against attachment. In fact, following Lord Chaitanya, we want our attachment to develop to the point where even a second seems like a yuga in separation from Krishna. You've all had this feeling in the material existence when you really wanted something and you were separated by some time. Didn't time crawl? Maybe you can remember something that you wanted so much, you were attached. And let's say it's Friday and that thing that you're supposed to meet up with is going to happen on Monday. It seems like time just crawls. When will that time come when I'm connected with whatever I want to be connected with? Time seems to move so slowly. This is a perverted material feeling of the spiritual world. The pain of separation in material life nobody wants. But in the spiritual world, this pain of separation is a spiritual feeling which enhances the love by increasing the anticipation, by strengthening the ties of the love. So we're all into attachment. We just need to learn what is the best attachment to have, and we have to rid ourselves of the inferior attachments. So, when we look at the world, seeing that it belongs to Krishna, suddenly we start to become stimulated into thinking how to use everything in Krishna's service. As soon as you recognize that Krishna is the supreme proprietor, then automatically your intelligence starts to function. And you get ideas how to serve Krishna, how to be Krishna's servant, how to engage everything in Krishna's service, simply by recognizing that Krishna is the proprietor. So don't think it's some kind of, child's exercise to go around thinking Krishna is the proprietor, Krishna is the owner. Krishna is Hrishikesh, he's the master of even my senses. You do that, and then your intelligence will develop further. The perfection of vision is to see everything perfectly in relation to Krishna so intensely that not only do you see the energy, but you also see the energetic source. As soon as you see the energy, you think, this is Krishna, and you see Krishna, the source of all the energy. That is the highest stage. And that is available in the process of Bhakti Yoga. You're actually seeing reality. Both together, the energy and the source of the energy. That vision is had by love. Therefore, whatever we do in the process of Bhakti Yoga is meant to develop this feeling of love so that we can see properly. You can remember in Vrindavan,
what Mother Yashoda saw when she looked into Krishna's mouth. She saw everything. But there was something more important even than her seeing everything. That was her feelings of maternal affection for Krishna. This is how the spiritual world works. Yes, on the one hand, we can glorify Krishna like Prahlad Maharaj is doing. You are the air, you are the earth, you're the fire, sky, water. You're this, you're that. That is very legitimate. Arjuna does that in Bhagavad Gita. But in the most confidential aspects of bhakti, even this vision of seeing Krishna as everything becomes overwhelmed by simply thinking, Krishna, you're my dearly beloved. Just like Mother Yashoda did. When Krishna and Balaram were growing up in Braj, they had so much fun as little kids doing mischievous, naughty things. This is God. Doing mischief. When Krishna and Balaram would crawl through Vrindavan, they would get the mud on their transcendental bodies, and the mud was mixed with cow dung and cow urine. It created such a beautiful sight. The Supreme Personality of Godhead crawling with a body smeared with mud, cow dung, and cow urine. Just think about that. This is the God you're worshiping. That's why there's a famous verse. Shrutim apare smritim itare. Bharatam anye bhavantu bhavavita. Some people are studying the Upanishads. Others are studying the Smriti Shastras. Others are studying Mahabharata. They have different motives. They're afraid of material existence or this or that. But I'm worshipping Nanda Maharaj. Because in his backyard, the Supreme Absolute Truth is calling. Yasya linde param brahma. From Brahma, the Supreme Brahma is crawling through the mud and cow dung and cow urine in the backyard of Nanda Maharaj. That is the highest theistic conception. So, Krishna and Balaram would do such mischievous things. You know, how they would go into people's houses and let the calves loose before milking time, and the calves would drink all the milk of their mothers, and the cowherd men would pretend to be upset. And Krishna and Balaram would steal butter, milk products, and feed it all to the monkeys. They would, if they didn't find anything to steal, they would find some babies to pinch and make the babies cry. If they couldn't do any of that, then they would find a nice clean spot in someone's house and pass stool and urine there. That is God. It's enjoyment. Just think. You couldn't do it though. But Krishna can do that as a little boy. Find a nice clean spot in the house and purify the place by passing stool and urine. This is a supreme enjoyer. And of course, the cowherd men and cowherd ladies, they would lodge complaints with Mother Yashoda. Your boy is doing this, your boy is doing that. And Krishna would, he'd be there and just smile innocently and everyone forget about their accusations. Mother Yashoda would be in anxiety. My boy is crawling around and there's so many dangers. Swords and tools on the ground. There could be fire. There could be animals. So much danger. In this way she would feel transcendental anxiety. Because in the spiritual world there's anxiety, there's crying. But it's all perfectly in relation to Krishna. Therefore, it's unlimitedly exhilarating to have these emotions. Whereas, you know, it's horrible in the material world to be anxiety-ridden, to be crying out of despair. But in the spiritual world, these things are free from any material contamination. Therefore, they're unlimitedly exhilarating. So, Krishna would give everybody an opportunity to talk about him. What is Krishna doing now? What mischief is he up to? And he would reciprocate with them. You're talking about my mischief? I'm going to do more mischief. And you're talking more about me?
I'm going to do more. So this way, things would just increase by reciprocation. So everyone in all of Braj is simply absorbed in talking about Krishna as the everything. But not so much as the air, the earth, the fire, the sky, the water. No, they didn't think like that. It's just Krishna is our everything because he's the 100% focus of our love. And the love becomes so monumental that it is the everything. Therefore, the residents of Vrindavan don't look at Krishna's opulence. It's a secondary aspect. For them, the love has become the everything. This is the unique flavor of the highest planet of the spiritual world. So you know that once Krishna was playing with Balaram and the Cowherd Boys, and Balaram and the Cowherd Boys decided to lodge a complaint with Mother Yashoda. Krishna has eaten dirt. So Mother Yashoda asked Krishna, "Is this so? What's going on?" Krishna said, "They're lying. They're filing false charges against me." In this way, Lord Krishna is showing how to enjoy childhood life. You've all had that experience before as a little kid. Some other kid would accuse you of something. "You're a liar." That comes from Krishna. He enjoys being called a liar. He enjoys being accused. So he's fighting back as a little kid in his own way. "They're just conspiring against me. They're angry at me that that I'm not playing with them according to their concepts. Therefore, they're staying like this." So what did Mother Yashoda say? "All right, open your mouth. We'll see." Krishna said, "Okay, I'll open my mouth. You can take a look. You'll see I'm innocent." What happened when Krishna opened his mouth? Mother Yashoda saw the vision that Prahlad Maharaj is describing here, the all-pervasive conception of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How the Lord is spread everywhere and anywhere. Sarvam Kalvidam Brahma. Everything is Brahman, the Supreme Brahman, Krishna. Nothing exists without him. What Prahlad Maharaj is describing, Mother Yashoda saw in the mouth of her child. She saw the whole cosmic manifestation. She saw herself, Nanda Maharaj. She saw everything in her child's mouth. So she was, naturally, you could imagine her reaction. She began to go through various possibilities. What's happening here? Could I be sick and seeing an hallucination? No, can't be, so I'm in perfect health. Could this be some illusion sent by the demigods? How could that be? Why would the demigods want to bother an insignificant woman like me? Could this be a dream? No. I'm wide awake. My eyes are open. How could it be a dream? Then she concluded, "This must be some peculiar mystic power of my son." After all, Garga Muni, he did say that my child would have some powers. So that must be it. I'm seeing these things in Krishna's mouth because this baby has peculiar mystic potencies. So then Mother Yashoda knew exactly what to do. "I'll just pray to God to protect my boy." So she offered her obeisances in prayer to the Supreme Lord, who is the proprietor of everything. And then she begged for forgiveness. "Oh God, forgive me for thinking that Nanda Maharaj is my husband, that I'm the queen of Vrindavan, and everyone in Vrindavan, they're my subordinates. Forgive me for thinking like that, that I'm the proprietor." At that point, Krishna had enough of her philosophizing. Krishna wanted that she become overwhelmed with maternal love. So, the yoga maya potency adjusted things so that Mother Yashoda would stop philosophizing and praying to God to help her understand what's going on with her boy Krishna. Yogamaya causes Krishna to forget that he's God and causes the devotees to forget that Krishna's God. Yogamaya is Krishna's helping energy for his pastime. So, the Yogamaya acted in such a way that Mother Yashoda stopped talking like that, and she simply began to feed Krishna her breast milk. And this way life in Vrindavan goes on. Prithu Maharaj, hearing this from Sukadeva Goswami, he began to wonder, how many pious activities did Mother Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj perform to get this situation in which the Supreme Lord is their own son and Mother Yashoda can feed him her breast milk? How many pious activities? Now, of course, pious activities will not bring you to Braj, but it's just a way of talking, a way of reference. It's like, how many billions of dollars would it take to buy all of London? People think today of value in terms of currency, but in a civilized society, people think of currency and value as highest activity. So just like a person today would say, how much money would it take in a civilized society? How much highest activities will it take? You see the difference, I hope. No amount of money is going to help you to buy all of London, and similarly, no amount of pious activities are going to help you to attain Krishna. But Prithu Maharaj is saying like that because you have to measure, you know, something in order to speak a comparison. How many pious activities does it take to, for Yashoda Mahabhaga to attain the extreme fortune of Mother Yashoda? What does it take to get to that level? She saw everything in Krishna's mouth, but even higher than seeing everything in Krishna's mouth is to see Krishna as her son and feed Krishna her breast milk. By hearing Krishna Leela and trying to understand Krishna's pastimes, we lose our interest in lording it over material nature. That's why Krishna offers us the reward in Bhagavad Gita. Janma karma chavetivya evam yoveti taktata. If you try to understand in truth Krishna's activities, his appearance in this world, why he comes, then upon giving up the present body, you won't take another body. We are always trying to understand something. What is wrong with trying to understand Krishna? You'll notice when you actually try to hear and understand about Krishna, your lording propensities over the material world start to reduce because your concentration is captured by something else. Remember in the beginning of the class, I was speaking about material consciousness when we first wake up. Oh, what's in this day for me? What is this day going to bring me? How is my body feeling? How is my mind feeling? Which persons am I going to meet today who will make my body or mind feel good? How will the day fulfill me? So that consciousness is so overwhelming, you may wonder, how will we ever break free from that? But if you take an interest in Krishna, why he does things, how he does things, you'll notice automatically your lording and overvision starts to decrease. And in fact, you'll find you like to tell others about Krishna. It's very intoxicating to hear about Krishna and tell others about Krishna. Things start to happen. Things start to gel inside of you just by describing Krishna and trying to understand Krishna. Follow in the footsteps of Prithu Maharaj and think, how did Nanda Maharaj and Yashoda get this opportunity? Brahma Brahma, the supreme source of everything, just like Prahlada Maharaj describes here. But Mother Yashoda was feeding the supreme source of everything with her breast milk. How can this be? We should not just react to Krishna Leela like it's some kind of nice stories which are soothing. It's true they are soothing. That's stated in the Bhagavatam. Mano Abhirama talks about Krishna are soothing, just like the moonlight. You see, you always have to compare something to something. Therefore, even though Krishna Katha is all spiritual, the comparison is made that it's like the soothing moonlight. Bhavosha jas chokra mano virama. It is the perfect remedy for the disease of bhava, repeated birth and death. And it's so soothing for the mind. Now, we shouldn't take it simply to be soothing in a material way. Oh, I was suffering so much stress and anxiety, and now I've taken the Krishna consciousness, I feel relief. Okay, that's all I need to know. I feel relief. I'm not fried anymore like I was. You have to go deeper into Krishna consciousness and actually try to understand to the best of your might Krishna's activities and pastimes. Why is Krishna the Supreme Personality of Godhead? How is that so? Just like Prabhupada writes in the beginning of Krishna Book, anyone who actually knows what is God will accept Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Now, do we actually know what is God? Or are we just wanting feelings of relief from the hellish city? And I was suffering so much, I was under so much stress and anxiety, then I started chanting Hare Krishna, and I feel peaceful. Okay, mission done, mission accomplished. No, you have to look into your heart and see how I can establish an attraction for Krishna's glories. One feeling I'd like to recommend for everyone. There's one advantage to reading Prabhupada's books over and over and over again. Maybe some of you as young devotees are wondering, can I just read these books through Prabhupada has given us and I'll always be satisfied? The fact is, if you try it, if you just read Krishna book, Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita, Nectar Devotion, Bhagavad Gita, over and over and over again, you'll get the experience of seeing that actually there's unlimited depths. And that will be a major source of conviction for you. When you experience the unlimited ocean of transcendental Krishna consciousness just by reading the same pastimes of Lord Krishna again and again, decade after decade, then you'll start to understand. So this is an experience that I don't think any of you should miss. When you can open a Krishna book and read the same chapter that you've read for ages, and then, I never saw that there before. I never got these realizations or understandings before. Then you'll know what's going on in Krishna consciousness, and you'll feel that you're on solid transcendental ground. It won't be theory for you. So this is something I recommend that everyone should try for. How you can open Bhagavad Gita and read it for the umpteenth time and then say, wow, I still haven't grasped 1% of this book. This is what will give you the feeling of a surety that you want. You want security? You want a feeling that, yes, I'm connected to what I should be connected to? This is a way how you can do it. And you'll do the greatest good for yourself. And then you'll be able to do the greatest good for others. Once you get that conviction in Krishna Katha and see it start to solve your personal problems, that may take some time. Maybe temporarily you may need some material aids to help you solve your material problems. Yeah, you can take it for what it's worth. But you should know that for the medium range and long range solution, there must develop an attachment for hearing about Krishna. And a curiosity. Why does Krishna do these things? Prichit Maharaj is showing us how to hear Krishna Katha. You're always bubbling with questions. Why did Krishna do like that? How did this happen? This is the sign of health. Not that you listen and, okay, yeah, I've heard this leela before. Yeah. All right, it does give me some, you know, kind of vague feeling of relief, so, you know, okay. Yeah. No, you got to go deeper. How it is that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. How it is that he's allowing Mother Yasoda to feed him with her breast milk. How it is that he gets angry if Mother Yasoda puts him down and goes to do something else. What kind of God is this? These are the things we should be interested in. We should become so overwhelmed with the desire to understand Krishna that we realize, I don't have enough time in my lifetime. That is a wonderful feeling. To be, as Prabhupada says, overwhelmed with the feeling of, how can I understand Krishna? My life is too short. Then you're in touch with the spiritual reality. I don't have enough time to understand Krishna. You can get that feeling from Prabhupada's books. I've got a lifetime. But as Prabhupada said, one lifetime is not enough to get to the bottom of his books. So you should try for that feeling. Then you'll become an empowered distributor. Then you'll become an empowered teacher of Krishna consciousness. Just by getting that feeling, I don't have enough time in this life to understand Krishna. That is a transcendental ecstasy. And you can pass that ecstasy on to others. All right. Speaking of time, we're come to the end of class. So, any questions? Yes.
About how Krishna's energies are expanding. I'm missing information, so I know that Radharani expanding to Gopis and then into Lakshmis. But the question is, how Lakshmis expand then forward? Is it into
Mahaprabhu? Forward?
I mean, how does the Lakshmi expand then? Is it into Mahadrapa or something else?
You can trace everything material and spiritual back to Krishna. That's what Arjuna was happy about in Bhagavad Gita. I see in detail that Krishna is the source of all appearances and disappearances. Of course, the spiritual energy has no beginning or end. But Arjuna was expressing, I see how everything, whether it has a beginning or end or not, is coming from Krishna, therefore I'm joyful. Come up for Chaksha, O Lotus Eye One. So, there's always finer and finer detail. You can go on and on analyzing how Mahamaya, Durga Devi is a branch of Yogamaya, like that. What's an example? I explained at the Manor Sunday, Krishna's double talk verse at the end of the Leela, in which Krishna recovered his father Nandaraj from the kingdom of Varuna. And the cowherd men were all wondering, like, you know, maybe Krishna's God. I mean, listen to Nandaraj's description of how Varuna was worshipping our Krishna. Maybe he's God, and maybe we might be going to the spiritual world on our next life. So Krishna, understanding their, you know, speculations, decided to reveal to them their destination. The point is that Krishna is anxious to show conditioned souls their destination in the spiritual world that they were born. So certainly Krishna is going to show Nanda Maharaj and the cowherd men, his dear devotees, their destination. But then the Lord said an interesting thing. He said, it's very curious how people wander through higher and lower destinations in life, powered by desire and not understanding how things happen. Not even knowing what their destination is. He's referring to both Yogamaya and Mahamaya in that verse. Under Mahamaya, conditioned souls wander higher, lower, don't know what the next life is going to be, don't know what their destination is. And then, what about Yogamaya? In Braj, no one is thinking Krishna is God. They're not meditating, I'm with God, how fortunate I am. So Krishna was commenting about that too. They're with him. They're with the ultimate. They're not thinking, you know, where I'm going, what's my future. They're just thinking, we're with Krishna. So even momentarily, when under the influence of Yogamaya, they start a little speculation. What's going to be our destination? Krishna still, you know, he has fun. He brings them to the Brahmahrada, and he has them dump into this lake of the Jamuna. And first they see the Brahmajyoti, and then they see the spiritual world, including the Loka Vrindavan. So what was the cowherd men's conclusion when they saw it? Amazing! We saw our destination, the spiritual world. And it looks just like where we are now. Amazing! Crystal was there! It looks just like Vrindavan! Wow! Hey, this is great! That was the final conclusion. It is like Krishna always has a good time and arranges a good time for his devotees. Even when they start speculating under the influence of yoga mind, they come right back to the same point. We saw the spiritual world. It's just like here in Braj. How great is that? One last question. Yes.
Maharaj, we're aspiring to become like Prabhupada Maharaj if you're approaching. How does someone like ourselves experience Krishna's love? Because we have various needs, emotional needs, as well as psychological needs. And how do we experience Krishna's love? Because many times, speaking personally, I don't feel that. I mean, intellectually, I know, I've analyzed it.
If every day you make an effort to make the holy name the number one priority of your day, you'll then feel Krishna's presence. But if you neglect that, however, then it'll be spotty. But if every day you decide the number one priority of my day is I can find a place in my daily schedule for chanting the holy name, you will see how Krishna makes arrangements in your life and you will feel gratitude. There's no other way in Kali Yuga. Everything else leads up to that. So the sooner you realize that, so I'll show you that, then it'll all work even more for you. That simple yajna is all that Lord Chaitanya asks of us. Give the holy name pride of place in your life. We're not jnanis, we're not mystic yogis, we're chanters of the holy name. That is how the Lord makes his full presence felt. Hare Krishna. Lord Shiva.